afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host. Today it's going to be Butch Paul to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Monday, May 7th, 2018. Dave Allen is still having a little difficulty with his health issue, so again, prayers for his recovery, and hopefully he'll be able to join us. He might be able to sit in here and there to catch up, and but remember to keep him in your prayers. And I want to thank Pastor Butch for standing in for Dave today. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melanie. It's always a pleasure to be here. I certainly enjoy our broadcast together. I really do. We get a lot of stuff covered, but we get to laugh a little bit while we're doing it, don't we?
Yes, we certainly do. And you gave us a little chuckle prior to while we were waiting to come on.
I like to pass that on to the listeners, if you don't mind.
It's good advice.
This is for the men now. Men, pay attention. It's a scientific fact. I'm going to tell you, so you pay attention now. It's a scientific fact that women who put on a few pounds live longer than the men who mention it. So take that for what's worth. Prolong your life. There you go, Melody.
And so anyway, you know, I hope everybody got a little chuckle on that one. And I did, and everybody else seemed to enjoy it. But anyway, gold today. You know, gold lost some weight today. Gold lost $1.60 in the New York spot aftermarket. How'd you like that segue? At $1,314. Silver's down 5 cents today at $16.54. Platinum looks really not doing anything, still holding at $915, and palladium is up two at $976. The USDX today, of course, is stronger, 0.17 at 92.75. Crude oil briefly today was over 70 bucks. We're still holding at 69.80 for crude oil. And the paper markets today seem to have been a little bit stronger. Oh, I went off my page here. Let me get back to that. The Dow was up 94 points at 24,357. The NASDAQ was up 55 points at 7,265. And the S&P was up 9 at 2,672. And, you know, I was working on my weekly market report. And I was it was very little change. We saw a lot of big drops and gains throughout the week in both the precious metals and the paper markets. But truly, there wasn't any big moves in anything. You know, the gold was for the week was just down a couple bucks. Silver was only it was up a couple pennies. The Dow, you know, we were looking at, you know, maybe 60 points on the Dow. Was actually negative last week. The NASDAQ was up, but only by 80 points. So, and the S&P was basically unchanged, you know, for the week. So, you know, we've had big days up and down, but at the end of the week, really not a lot of movement in any one direction. So, a lot of volatility throughout the week, but very quiet come, you know. The gains don't seem to be as big as what they pronounce them to be. The 10-year yield today, 2.95%. Euro is weaker, 0.26 to the negative, 1.19. Germany was up a little bit overnight, up 1%. And so it's, you know, we have primaries tomorrow. Across this country, and many of them are focused on West Virginia.
You're right, and I can't wait till this part's over. I have never seen such a bunch of mudslinging and slander and all kinds of different things. I know a couple of the candidates. One of them pretty well, and he is not worth this pat or take blow his nose. He's one of the front runners here for a senator. Republican Party. That's our president, attorney general. And there's, you know, I know Jenkins. Jenkins talks good, but his record shows different. And you know that Don Blankenship just got out of jail a while back, supposedly for causing a mine accident, which I personally don't think it was his fault. But nonetheless, there's a lot of things going on here, and I can't see among any of them, including the ones in there right now, Senator Manchin. At one time, Melody, when he was governor of the state, I met with him personally on two or three occasions. Once I was on a little trip with my family up at a little place called Cassini Car Road. He was there, and we talked a while. He come across as being a kind of level-headed, straightforward guy. And he was as governor. He went to be senator, and he changed. He changed completely. And that isn't good. I guess he was scared off or bought off. I don't know which. So I can't, with good conscience, support any of them. I have one guy running for senator here. His name is Bo Copley. I'm going to support him. He's the only, I had him on a broadcast last week. Good man. I don't think he'll ever get through the primary because he's too good a man. And he's not allowed in the debates because he's not ranked high enough on the scale, I guess you could say, to be there, which is totally wrong. How if these men had a way to get their position out, they may actually challenge the front runners, but they keep them down, and they do it on purpose. You know that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I can't wait till this part of it's over.
Well, you know what? You talk about Blankenship and, you know, him getting going to jail and so forth. Your governor, he has a terrible, terrible record.
Yes, he does.
For safety violations in the mining industry. And, in fact, back in 2009, he sold some of his coal business to a Russian company. And then after you had the huge drop in the price of coal, the Russian company closed some of the mines. And what's the governor's name? Justice.
Justice, yes.
Brought him back. He doesn't have, and he used to be a Democrat.
Yep.
And he turned Republican.
Yep.
And he's not a good guy. How did he get in there?
I know how does he get in there?
Trump. He's a friend of Trump.
I just know that normally, and I'm going to say it plain out, crap rises to the top. You know that. And that's what usually works out, quite honest with you.
Yeah.
And, and that's just the way it is. And money talks, and he's got some money. Go ahead.
So did Blankenship take the blame for Justice, maybe?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they're necessarily connected on the same incident here with what happened at the Upper Big Branch Mine. I don't think that Justice had anything to do with that, as far as I know. But I'm sure him and Blankenship are friends. But I don't know that Don Blankenship is as guilty as everybody wants him to makes him out to be. His story says no. Again, I don't know, Melody. I mean, how do you trust, how do you know someone? Unless you sit down and talk to him eyeball to eyeball, so to speak, and break bread with him and talk to him. How do you know him? You really don't know. You listen to what they say. You like to believe them, but you can't do it. You really can't. You know, I mean, I just read today that Trump, you know, ran on the idea of getting the transgenders and the sodomites out of the military. Well, that didn't happen, obviously. But now Pence just went, just swore in a new ambassador to Germany. There's an open sodomite. He's there with his sexual perverted partner. And Trump swore him in as ambassador to Germany. And Pence, and Pence is supposed to be a strong Christian. So you tell me that isn't double signals.
Yeah.
I mean, that is totally, the Bible said a spring can't put forth both sweet and bitter water. It's impossible. Well, obviously the water wasn't too sweet, so this has got to be a murky spring. And how do you trust any of them? Pence gets up and talks about Christ and being a Christian and born again. Then he holds up his right hand, or holds up another man's perverse right hand and says, swear to be ambassador of Germany. How do you do that in good conscience, call yourself a Christian? So anyway, don't get me started on that. That's a whole different issue.
No,
different
we're not. We're not. This is a financial program.
Think about this, this affects finances also. Because if you can't trust him with something so basic, how are you going to trust him with your money? With finances?
Well, you know, it seems like we have taken away a person's character. We kind of, you know, he can have a bad character. He can be a bad person, but he can still do good for the country.
That's impossible.
He can do this and that. And I'm talking about the congressman. We talked about it earlier today on the morning show, Power Talks. And, you know, we were talking about Congress and all those politicians. And it's like, look what they do. Look what they say about one another. They stoop to the lowest levels possible, to get elected, not all of them, but some of them, most of them, and then you expect them to honor their words. And I Cruz was the one that I was speaking about. Here, Cruz's wife was taken to the, dragged through the mud. And this is not, I'm not saying anything about Trump. I'm talking about Cruz. He didn't stand, he stood up for his wife for a little bit. But the whole point afterwards, I mean, he just swallowed everything so he could keep his position. And what kind of man is that? I mean, do you think he's really going to, is he going to make good decisions for our country, our Constitution, who is supposed to be,
Let me ask you a question. I think it makes simple. If you had a son or a daughter, and I say I was a, let's say I was a homosexual or just no pervert, a man, if you had a son or daughter and you couldn't trust one of them with me alone, would you trust me with your house and finances?
Well, it's all character. It's just not one.
You get my point, though? You get my point?
There's all kinds of examples.
Sure.
There's all kinds of examples that shows how, a person's character, how can you expect them to do good if their character is flawed? And we're not all perfect. I get that.
Not perfect, and that's not the point. The point of it is we try to do what's right. These people don't even care.
Yeah.
That's the difference. The difference. But, talking about finance, I do want to share some here that I thought was a very good article. Really good article. It's entitled "Money is Gold and Nothing Else." Now, this, back before our time, even back before I was born, following the panic in 1907, John Pierpont Morgan was called to testify before Congress in 1912 on the subject of Wall Street manipulations and what was then called the Money Trust or Banking Monopoly of J.P. Morgan and Company. Now, this is 111 years ago, and already, Mel, they're talking about manipulations at Wall Street. 111 years ago. Think about that. In the course of his testimony, Morgan made one of the most profound and lasting remarks in the history of finance. In reply to questions from the Congressional Committee staff attorney, Samuel Udemeyer, the following dialogue issued as recorded in the Congressional Record. Udemeyer, I want to ask you a few questions bearing on the subject that you have touched upon this morning as to control money. The control credit involves a control money, does it not? Morgan, a control credit? No. Udemeyer, but the base of banking is credit, is it not? Morgan, not always. That is an evidence of banking, but it is not the money itself. Money is gold and nothing else. That was powerful. That was powerful. And it said Morgan's observation that money is gold and nothing else was right in two respects. The first and most obvious is that gold is a form of money. Second and the more subtle point revealed in the phrase and nothing else was that other instruments purporting to be money were really forms of credit unless they are redeemable into physical gold. Melody, that's been a long time ago since he said that, and nothing's changed.
You know what? And it hasn't changed. The bankers, the elite, they know what money is. It doesn't matter how much credit they create, debt they create. They understand that gold is money, and it always will be. They just don't want the people to own it, and that is, they have criminalized it. They have taken it out of our government. They have taken it out of our economy. They have done everything possible to manipulate the price of gold to keep it suppressed so it doesn't garner any attention. You can't have high stock market prices based on the fundamentals of a high stock market that we're seeing today, based on debt with higher gold prices. And they have lied, they have cheated the American people. They've lied to and cheated the American people.
Absolutely.
And when you have, 1%? It used to be less than 1% that owned gold. After 2008, that probably was increased to 1%. That was probably increased to 1%. I guarantee you we're probably below that 1% now. Maybe we're hovering. That's pathetic.
It is pathetic. But, you know, you would think, now, of course, I can't throw stones with this because I was just as naive as everybody else, or ignorance, a better word, probably, that you would think that anything that they try to control should, maybe we should look and see why they're trying to control it. When Roosevelt, you know, outlawed gold and then sold it when he got it, he took it away from the people. Then he took silver out of the money in 64. Wouldn't you have thought this, the people in America would have thought there's something wrong with this? I mean, paper intrinsically is worth nothing but a piece of paper. I mean, yeah, wouldn't you have thought they would cut on to that?
Well, some did, but look what happened. You know, when they confiscated gold in 33, what followed shortly thereafter? Bigger government. Social programs, infrastructure. All of these things were, you know, coming along for and that helped. So what were people going to say? People loved the programs because it did help them.
You remember the story of the Trojan horse, I'm sure. A true story, mm-hmm. of course, but the Trojan horse and, you know, the battle of Troy with Greece, and how they conquered the city by making a gift of a wooden horse to the people and put a few men inside there to open the gates when everybody's asleep. That's a true story. And that the symbol of Troy was a horse. It was a peace offering, so to speak. They pulled away, pretended to pull away, and left one man behind to explain to him, this is a peace offering, we were wrong, and here's a horse to prove it. And of course, that night, they opened the gates and they were conquered. Well, the welfare department, the welfare system, the idea of handouts, was the nation's Trojan horse financially and also spiritually. It helped the church sell out as a 501c3 back in 1953. Nonetheless, it was our Trojan horse. They couldn't breach the walls of America with what they had, what our founders gave us financially too. They couldn't breach it by any other means except to make us trust in and do away with real wealth. Where has that gotten us? I mean, where are we today? Are we better off or worse off?
Well, for a short period of time, we were better off. It did seem that each generation got a little bit better than the last. Mm-hmm. And that's that was the dog and pony show. That was the carrot that was, dangled in front of all of us, in front of everyone at that point in time. And they went for it. Today, we're not better off.
No, we're much worse off.
We're much worse off. And it's going to come. There will be a day of reckoning. For the mismanagement, for the corruption,
yes,
that they have had open reins for so many years, and so we can talk a little bit about that when we come back. I also want to talk a little bit about the housing market. The housing confidence hits new records, and we'll be back right after these few short moments of commercials.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And most likely that newsletter, we've been been trying to get caught up on various things, and that might be going out tomorrow morning instead of late this afternoon. We'll try to get it done here soon, but running a little behind, and that should be going out to you. So dgscoins.com. Going into the I don't know if you wanted to move on, but I wanted to
Make one more comment. Oh, you want to cover something very quickly?
No, if we're on the same topic, go ahead.
Okay, we're on the same topic. By the way, folks should hear our conversation off the air. They'd enjoy that more probably. But anyway, back to what I was talking about. Now, I like your comment on this. I really would. I just want to know what you think about this. Is the supply of gold depleting? Demand for gold is increasing, yet new discoveries of the precious metal have not kept pace with demand. Funds for exploration are historically high, $54.3 billion, up 60% over the last 18 years. The increased spending, however, has not produced the equivalent in new gold discoveries. Now, Melly, what's your opinion? Is gold is where we're getting less of it out of the ground? That can be a huge problem or a good thing in the future, perhaps, depending on how you look at it. What's your opinion on that?
I do agree. There is certainly a demand, and because the price has been low, they haven't been actively mining it as they should. So, you are going to see a little bit of a problem when the markets turn around. And, I do believe somehow, some way, gold is going to play a very big, important part in global finances and global monetary systems. And we have basket of currencies now. I don't see any reason that's going to change, but they're going to have to stabilize the currencies. They're going to have to keep governments from manipulating their currencies. I mean, the U.S. is probably one of the biggest manipulators, along with China. Every country manipulates their currencies. Now, if they're in the IMF, it's supposed to prevent them from manipulating it to certain degrees, but they do it anyway. So,
well, the IMF itself manipulates currencies. They play with it, too.
Who?
The IMF does it also. With
yeah,
other
they
currencies.
Do it. Yeah, absolutely. So, what's the one thing that they would do in order to stabilize? If you're having a monetary system collapse, the structure, the only thing they can use is gold, because gold is money. Gold has been recognized as money for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. That is not going to change. So what are they going to use? They're going to use gold. And I personally believe the only way they could do it is they'll add more countries into the basket of currencies, and they'll throw gold in there. Now, I don't know what percentage against the currencies, how that would actually play out. But initially, to begin with the IMF, in order to get into the IMF, you had to give them gold. So I think gold will be part of the basket, but we just don't know how much. Is it 10%? Is it 20%, 30%, 50%? I don't know. But it will be used, and because they need to have a unit of trade. And that was the problem, what was happening when he closed the gold window, it was all about the price of gold. And so they will also have to raise that price in order to, with the amount of debt that this country, what the world has also. So it's the only thing they can use to stabilize these currencies.
Well, that's going to put the value through the roof, you know that.
Absolutely. Now, here domestically, you know, there's various programs, various ways they could go about as far as our currency. You know, people talk about the dollar going to zero. I don't think the dollar will go to zero. I mean, we're almost there. But I mean, if you look at the basket of currency that I talk about every day, we're a little above 90. Is that going to go to zero? I don't think so. We don't have to go to zero in order for the system to collapse. Dollar is looking at, if we're at 90 now, a little bit stronger than 90, trust me, if we go to 60 or 50, the game's over. The game is over.
Well, considering that 1969, a $100 bill was worth, is the equivalent of $1,000 today, how much has the dollar dropped in value the last 50 years?
Mm-hmm.
Now, on a scale, maybe we're not dropped as much as other currencies. But that's not really comparing anything apples to apples, so to speak. We're comparing paper to paper. You're not comparing to real money.
Right.
We lost 100% already in value in 50 years. Now, you say, how can it still be here? Well, still here, still worth something because we think it is. But it's losing purchasing power. It's not going away, Melody. It just takes more dollars to buy it, and it's harder to find the dollars.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, the day of reckoning, as I said, is coming.
Yes, there will be
a day. And this is why, you know, I believe that we know Iran had started to trade their oil for other than dollars. They've done that several years ago. So, you know, prior before their agreement and so forth, and possibly that agreement was predicated on them beginning to curtail selling the oil in other currencies and so forth. But we're not friendly with that information, but we saw what happened to Iraq. We saw what happened to Gaddafi. We see what happens to these other countries who have tried to trade and sell their oil in something other than the U.S. dollar. So it's a big deal.
That is
what keeps basically this country running, is that reserve currency status.
We're talking about oil, and oil prices, of course, are going up. And in the last 3 to 4 months, the price of gasoline up in some areas here went up from $2.35-ish to $2.75 in some areas. That's a big increase over like a 3-4 month period, is it not?
It is, but people don't take notice until it's over three. You know,
and
then
it's getting there. It's already like almost $2.90 a gallon average across country. It's getting there.
Yes. It's getting there, but until it's like 3.25, people aren't going to squawk. No. But, you know, then they'll start complaining, particularly during the summer, because they already have their vacations planned, so, you know, they're not going to do much until this fall. Then they'll be, you know, we'll see where gasoline prices are at that point in time. But things aren't going to go down.
No, they're not.
Going to go down.
They can't.
People talk about, you know, the tariffs and we exported our inflation to China for a long time. And, you know, I guess the big question is, is the American consumer ready to face inflation?
Well, that's a good question. Now, it is a good question because Venezuela, as you know, is facing, 3,000 or better percent for inflation. And in Venezuela, if you want to get a haircut, they don't want bolivars. They want 5 bananas and 2 dozen eggs. That's a true story. They're now using barter in Venezuela to live. You want a haircut? 5 bananas and 2 eggs, not 2 dozen, 2 eggs. 5 bananas and 2 eggs. That's how they're paying the bills in a place where the money's worthless. It's called a barter system. Melody, could it happen here?
Absolutely. You know, when you get that type of inflation, even in Zimbabwe, I spoke to a woman who, her family was in Zimbabwe, and she was working 40, 50, 60 hours a week outside the country. And she said, you send the money back, and they still can't even barely buy bread. You know, so they have no way to feed themselves. They were sending the kids down to the riverbanks to pan for gold. so they could buy bread. So, absolutely.
There comes that gold back in again.
Yes, there comes that gold back again. And bananas and eggs is great. However, bananas spoil. Mm-hmm. Eggs spoil. So, and this is why gold and silver, when people talk about, I don't think gold and silver is strictly for barter. I think there's a bigger picture that really gets overlooked when it comes to gold and silver. But since we're talking about bartering and the importance of it, yeah, your gold's not going to spoil. Your silver's not going to spoil. Your egg, you know, like the eggs and the banana will. And you better hope that that barbershop is hungry for bananas and eggs if you go in there. So you always have to be mindful of, you know, whatever service that you need. You know, if you're not trading in real money like gold and silver, you have to be aware of what other people want. It's
very
not
true.
What you think they want. You might think that.
Go ahead. I was going to say that you were going to mention something about the housing market, and I want to hear about that because I got some news on that too. I think you might want to hear. But please share that because I think it's a very hot topic right now.
Okay, consumer confidence in housing has jumped to its highest level on record in April, and that was according to Fannie Mae. Those who think home prices are going to move higher rose the most, and those who think now is a good time to sell came in second. Only the share of those who think it's a good time to buy fell. So confidence is strong, supply is tight, prices, I don't know if prices are soaring, but we are seeing mortgage rates rise. So it's really, you know, that doesn't help a happy housing market if they get too high for people, but the consumer confidence is the highest level on record in April.
Higher than 2008. And what happened in 2008?
Yep, exactly. I talked to a realtor today real quick around this area, and, you know, I asked him, I said, is the market hot? And he says, well, he says there's a certain price range. He says it's around $300,000. He says between three and four. He says that market is hot. He says all the other markets, not so much. So it's kind of interesting.
Well, that's a pretty high price range, too.
Yeah.
It really is. You know, my son lives in Colorado Springs, as most people know, and he wouldn't move closer to work. Now, out there, they move around like you and I trade cars. They do houses. I mean, they moved at least four or five times since they've been married. But they put their house on the market, and it sold the next day. So they were desperate to find a place. They found a place yesterday and had to make a decision on that afternoon because the house will be sold the next day to somebody else. That's how the housing in Colorado Springs is booming right now. Matter of fact, they said that Colorado eviction courts are overwhelmed as a housing crisis unfolds. So, yeah, in Colorado Springs right now, if you want a house, you'd be right there with money in hand, or somebody's going to take it right from under you. I talked to Donna last night, and she said while they were looking at the house, about an hour they were looking at the house, three or four of the couple showed up looked the same house. And the realtor said, if you don't give us a decision today, it'll be sold tomorrow.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it is. Well, that's
kind of scary too, isn't it? Kind of scary. You know, I guess it sounds like everything's prospering and doing well. But Mel, that can't go on like that forever. It's going to hit again. And you would think after 2008, Colorado Springs went from a booming. I was up there in the early 2000s. That place was absolutely from 8 in the morning to 5 in the evening all day long. They were building houses and houses and houses and houses. In 2008, it come to a dead standstill. Partial houses stood empty for a long time. Just recently did it start rebuilding again. Now, wouldn't you think they'd figured out this might happen again?
Well, I think a lot of people are comfortable. They think that government has kept the banks from doing these subprime loans, and they've done, and we're just right back at it. You know, the Fannie Mae's and the Freddie Mac's, I mean, they're changing the credit scores so it's easier for people to get credit. And, you know, it's going right back to the same way. But people just think that they're being protected this time around, and they're not.
Well, that kind of market would be moving too fast for me. I'd have a hard time making a decision on a house in a few hours. I really would. I'd have a hard time on that. Because, you know, what's the old saying? Act in haste, repent and leisure. You know, you make a decision to buy a new home. That's not like buying a new stove. That's a huge investment. So makes me kind of wonder about that. It really does.
But it seems like these home buyer consumers, the home consumers, their attitudes are very resilient and going into the spring and summer season. So the housing market, and it all comes down to the mortgage rates. That's a big pusher, too. People want to get these homes before rates go too high. So,
well, time will tell. I remember Bob Chapman telling me back in the early 2000s, I think around 2004 or 5, he said the housing market's going to bust and it's going to hurt.
Yep.
And and he said it's going to be a couple of years, and I don't remember he told me that, but he was almost right on the money, as Bob always was. And it happened. I mean, it got so bad in Colorado Springs, it started turning off some of the streetlights that the city couldn't afford to pay for the streetlights. Mm-hmm. So, but now that's behind them, they forgot about it and go right back into it, headlong again. I don't know, Melanie. It's just like it's almost like a fix on a drug. They got a hit on it, and it knocked them down, but they got a chance maybe to do it again with better quality, and they're going to do it again. It doesn't make any sense to me. But that's just old hillbilly talking.
No, it's just cycles, and you know, the banking system, people's buying habits, they don't change. They're all the same. So, you know, you can count on these huge corrections. And that's what people have to do. They have to prepare for these big corrections.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the correction is over, you know, then they can benefit by making smart decisions, because they're the ones that have the money to go out and, you know, reinvest where everybody else can just lose it. And this is different. We've seen all these problems, all these recessions in the past, and it isn't strong economic growth that's gotten us out of them. It's been debt, various new programs created by the banks, by Wall Street, by government. They're all in it together, and they create these programs, which creates more debt, which gives the illusion that we have a strong economy that pulls us out of these recessions. And that's just not true.
No, it isn't true. It is true.
It gives the illusion, and that's all it is an illusion.
You know, I was watching news, of course, and trying to keep up with a few things going on. Is it break time again already?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Todd must be slipping. Todd must be slipping. He must be napping.
Probably polishing his fingernails.
There it is. I hear he must be. Hey, I hear the music, and right on cue. We'll be back right after these few short commercials.
Oh, won't you tell me again tonight?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. day, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and it's brought to you. This program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. I guess there was a tweet coming from the White House that tomorrow President Trump is going to announce his decision on whether the U.S. will pull out of Iran's nuclear accord. That's to come at 2 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow. He says he's going to be announcing his decision on the Iran deal tomorrow from the White House. And, of course, we all know that he is weighing in whether to continue waiving sanctions, whether he's going to continue to waive sanctions on the energy and banking sector that were lifted as part of the 2015 agreement. All of the European allies, the UK, France, and Germany, they've all encouraged him to remain part of the deal. And they all have acknowledged that there are some flaws. They have worked to develop some sort of agreement that perhaps to address their Iran's ballistic missile program and its support for terrorism. So I saw this morning the Boris Johnson, who was played a very big part in Brexit. He's been across all the radio TV programs, news programs this morning, and he was encouraging Trump to stay in the agreement, but perhaps change some things within it. And I have a feeling that will probably be what he does. That would be my bet. I don't think he's going to pull out of it. If he pulls out of it, we're in trouble.
We are in trouble. You know, and, it's amazing how they just come by this when I picked up this article called The War Makers. So between the U.S. strikes on Syria in April and the recent developments on the Korean Peninsula, we are in somewhat of a lull in the empire's search for a new war to start. That's pretty powerful words. But anyway, the always helpful Israelis, in the person of the affable Bibi Netanyahu, are now beating their drums for, well, if not a war, then at least some kind of false flag or pretext to make the USA strike at Iran. Well, if that ties in, that kind of tied right in what you just said. Makes you kind of wonder, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes.
You know, and Netanyahu is on his on bold faced lying in front of how many different millions of people with this so called evidence. I mean, there's a bold faced lie.
Yeah. Hey, Butch, we have a caller. We have Ivan calling us today. Good afternoon, okay. Ivan.
Yes, good afternoon, Melody and Pastor Butch.
Hello.
Hopefully everybody's fine.
Yes, thank you.
I have a
yes.
question to the pastor. About Israel and the Bible. And my question is, the present Israeli government and state, is it really the true Israelis who were there from Abraham's seed, or are these Jews who are Khazars or Ashkenazi or Sephardic type, because first of all they don't look Semitic. Okay, they say, you know, so if you say something against them, they call you anti-Semite. Well, Semites are dark people, like Ethiopians. Okay,
well, they can also be Arabs. Semites and can be Arabs also. You're right. Absolutely right.
You know, so my question is, you know, they keep saying that they are, you know, the chosen people, which really Christ tore the in their temple, tore the curtain, you know, in the temple up on his death, and he broke the actual all God's commitment to them at that point. And in essence, we became the Israel, the so-called Israel, the people who, because they, even when he was being crucified, they said, you know, be his blood on us and our children.
Well, you know, you ask a good question. I don't want to cut you out. We run out of time very quickly. You ask a good question, and to answer in 2 minutes is a little bit difficult. But no, yeah. It is not that the people there now are not the Israel of the Old Testament. Now, there are some Jews there, will say, actually from the tribe of Judah, but not many of those even. Most of them are not true Jews at all. And I know it makes a lot of people angry when I say that, but it's true. And understanding scriptures and studying over a lot of years, I realize that nation has to be there, though, to fulfill scripture. It has to be there. So it's fulfilling scripture when it becomes a nation again, so to speak. It fulfills scripture because that's where this Third World War is going to start, is the Middle East. But no, they are not. That is not the nation of Israel that the Bible talks about. It is not.
Right.
Not the true Israel.
And Christ also prophesies that there won't be any temple built, okay, until he comes down with New Jerusalem from heaven with Christ. Then, then there's going to be church or temple or whatever, but it will be under his command, under his control, under Christ's control.
Yeah, what we see over there now is exactly what has been prophesied to cause us to go to war. It has to be there for that purpose, and it's there for that purpose. As you know, Trump just fulfilled prophecy when he made Jerusalem the capital of Israel. We know prophecy about where we fulfilled when we bombed Damascus, when that happens. This is all prophecy, and it's happening very quickly in our lifetime. It really is.
Right. Well, I just wanted to clarify some of these points. You know, I have some friends with whom I discussed these items, and we came to the same conclusion, and these are really Ashkenazi, which came from Poland, Russia, and they're all white, you know. I mean, a Semitic person is a darker person, like Arabs, like you were saying, like many other countries which are located around the Middle East, and thus they are not really, like I say, they are there.
That is not the Israel of the Bible. It is not. But I know we're running out of time. Right. I'm Melanie probably to say something. Thanks for the call. Though, appreciate the question. Hope I helped you. Hope I answered the way you want to hear it. But that's just what I know to be true. It is not the Israel of the Bible.
I agree, and I just want to get a confirmation, you know, from someone who, like yourself, who studied, you know, the Bible.
Well, thank you so
other
much.
Other books.
Thank
All
you.
Right. Well, I appreciate your and about this tomorrow, the announcement about Iran.
Yes.
Should be if they pull out, I think. We might see a major configuration occurring, you know.
Yeah, very well.
It was prophesied also that there will be a war, that Christ will put a hook into the jaw of Gog or Magog.
Yeah.
Or,
yes.
But
yes.
Who is Russia, okay?
Yes.
And they will also... be used to destroy many nations.
Yep. All right. Yeah. Good point. Good call. Thank you. Very good point. And Mel, you know, along the same lines he's talking about, I'm not a prophet by any means, but I think I can say this and be pretty much right on the money, and I hope I'm wrong. I really do. But I look for another so-called terrorist attack, maybe New York City or Washington, D.C., and that's not going to be very far in the future. Another mass shooting, perhaps, or another, who knows what could happen. That's just from what I've been gathering from different places. If we pull out of Iran, would someone, name a nation called Israel, benefit by causing us to get angry with Iran, perhaps? Just a question. And could a false flag happen in Washington, D.C. or New York? And what would that do to the financial structure of this nation? What would it do to the markets?
See, I don't think he's going to pull out of Iran. I don't think he's going to do that.
But if he doesn't, could a false flag be done as it was in 9/11, blaming on Iran? I'm just curious. Something's going to happen somewhere. I can sense it. It's going to happen.
That is possible. But I think we're having we focus on Iran. We forget about North Korea. They need that deal to go through. But what's interesting is I was just reading an article that in Jerusalem you have workmen that are putting up street signs to the U.S. Embassy that's due to open in Jerusalem in 1 week. Yep. And so, I mean, is it a coincidence that you have all of these things happening at once?
No, it isn't. It's Bible. Bible says Jerusalem will become a burdensome stone around the whole world's neck. Well, that's what it is. Yes, it is.
And you know what? And I don't understand why is there so much confusion and with Israel? Why is there so much confusion?
Well, because I think being a pastor for as long as I have been, over 40 years, I used to be totally, and I am not anti-Israel now, but I used to be totally pro-Israel. We got to support them. We got to support them. They're God's people. And I was deceived. The masses in the churches today in America are deceived, Melody. And that's the sad part. Of course, that is part of the deception that has to happen in order for Israel to come into what she is right now and to cause turmoil in the world. If Israel had not become a nation, Jerusalem would not be the capital, and Jerusalem would not be a burden to the whole world. So this had to happen. That's why it happened. The churches were deceived, yes. No excuse for that. I was part of it. But that's part of what had to happen to bring it about.
And, and now, and so often you see these churches and those associated, boy, if you say anything about Israel, they don't want to talk about it. And on the other hand, those that have a better understand, you hear so much hate. I mean, it's almost such extremes.
It is extreme. And both are wrong. Extreme is both are wrong. I counsel people all the time who become very bitter and angry at what they've seen happen, and not around the world and here in this country, very bitter and angry, and to the point that it affects your family. And that's so wrong. You can't do that. Christ gave us joy and peace that's unspeakable and full of glory that the world can't touch. If you're full of bitterness and anger all the time, you can't get on with your own family, you're sinning. You have a devil bothering you. And you know me quite well, Mel. Do you know I love to laugh and joke? I can get serious. I can get really serious, and I can preach hellfire and brimstone was given to me. But I you know I like to laugh. And when I'm around somebody like I love, like you, for example, as a sister in Christ, I enjoy laughter with you. I enjoy picking on you. But we can get serious if I have to,
You enjoy it.
But people get too up. We have to plan for the future. That's why I keep telling people on my program, even to call Melody Seastrom and plan for the future with some common sense purchasing of some real tangible assets called gold and silver. You'll need it in the future. Maybe you won't need it for long, but you're gonna need it. I've had needed it, and I have used it. Praise God, I've used it. By His mercy, He teach me this. Paid for my home, paid for the property, able to put a generator in the house, runs the whole house, and not wealthy by any means, but not hurt neither, because I trusted people like Melody Seastrom. And folks, if you don't call her at 800-375-4188, I don't know what else to tell you. As a brother and a pastor and a friend, if you can't take my word enough to at least call and ask her a question or two, then I can tell you change your mind. 800-375-4188. I'm very serious about this. I tell my children this. Do they listen? No, not really. I tell my family this. Do they listen? Not really. A lot of people come back to me over the last few years and say, boy, we wish you would have listened. I say, well, now's the time to get in because it's cheap now. Get it now. Yeah, but again, what are you going to do?
I can't tell you how often I hear, Melody, I wish I had listened to you. And I don't get pleasure out of that.
No.
I'm thankful that people who do say that they've come to their senses and they've come to the point that they do call me and they do talk to me. And,
it's not too late.
And I make people think. I don't tell people what to do. I give them ideas and options.
Yes.
Suggestions.
Yes.
So they can make informed decisions. It's not me to make decisions for my customers. I hear all the time, a lot of these newsletter writers and analysts and so forth, they say, nope, you got to do this, you got to do that. And people do it, and they say, well, you know, I didn't want to do it, but I did it anyway. Well, you know what? If you didn't want to do it, you probably shouldn't have.
Exactly.
And
right.
If you thought that you should have bought gold, you probably should have called me, and I would have helped you through, and at least I would have made you think about some of the other things that they wanted to put you in. You know, when I hear about these gold dealers opening these storage facilities and storing your metals overseas, it just, I'm thinking, oh, these poor people are just being given such wrong information. And it's gotten to the point where, you know, eventually I'm going to be hearing, gee, I wish I would have listened to you again soon.
But then that will be too late. Once the gold's over there, you're not going to get it back.
This time, you're never going to get it back. I mean, come on. You know, even a gold dealer. Gold dealer? I'm the most honest person that I know.
You really are.
I wouldn't store people's metals. I wouldn't expect my customers to want me to store them. But I know what happens in markets when things go crazy. And you have a gold dealer that's sitting there with a ton of metal and he can't find product. Gee, I wonder whose product he might sell. Not saying that he is or he would, but that's the risk. Why take the risk? And we're out of time. So we will be back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. So until then, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading, DGScoins.com. And until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.